You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 5th of September 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, Liz Truss has been voted in by the Conservative Party members. She is our new Prime Minister. There is talk of a new cabinet, which is apparently going to be all filled with non-white faces. All the white people will have been replaced if the predictions turn out to be true. And all that you can really say about that is that at least there are some right-wing people amongst them. Suella Braverman, for instance, has spoken out against the transgender agenda, and Liz Truss has also spoken out against it. She's actually removed Stonewall from getting funding from some of her departments, so I will reserve my criticism until I hear her speech tomorrow and hear what she's going to do about things. Obviously, Britain is in quite a state at the moment with the fuel poverty. There's all sorts of things that she's going to need to be turning her attention to. I don't have much confidence in her, but then again, we'll just have to wait and see. In London, the multicultural paradise that is London, over the weekend, we saw a horrific 100-man machete brawl take place. A boy has been killed and a teen left fighting for his life after a 100-man machete brawl in Sadiq Khan's London. A machete brawl involving around 100 people has left at least one dead and another seriously injured in leftist politician Sadiq Khan's London. And the fact that the machete was the weapon of choice in the brawl does tend to imply that it would have been black people that were involved in the brawl. The machete is not really a typical weapon of choice for white people, and the fact that London is multicultural, I think it's about 60% non-white now, does tend to imply that either all of the people involved in the brawl or the majority of them would have been black. I haven't actually seen any videos of it. I could be wrong, but the fact that it is a machete that's being used does tend to imply that it would have been somebody black that was wielding it. Of course, if we didn't have the government's multicultural policy, we would not have black people wielding machetes in our capital city, would we? Under the administration of the Labour Party mayor, the British capital has seen widespread violent crime, with police representatives even pleading that the city's annual Afro-Caribbean festival is no longer held after a number of stabbings, one deadly, tens of attacks on officers, including two sexual assaults on female officers. And we're actually going to be talking about that in Real Britannia later on today. According to a report by broadcaster GB News, one more has now been added to London's violent death count for 2022, the victim said to be a boy aged 17. Another teenager, who police believe is an 18-year-old male, is also in critical condition following the violent altercation in the east of the city. The mass brawl is alleged to have kicked off after a number of individuals were refused entry to a house party in the area, and a Section 60 order, which allows officers to stop and search any individual in the area, was introduced following the incident. Officers at Scotland Yard say that an investigation is in its early stages and no arrests have yet been made. So another brawl's taken place, another murder, no arrests yet, rather similar to the flash mob that attacked a shop the other day. Hundreds of youths, no arrests yet. That seems to be the case nowadays. You just hear of these crimes appearing. No arrests. I think they might finally have arrested two people over the tragic shooting of this young girl in Liverpool. the other day, but the police don't seem to be doing very well with actually catching criminals. They seem to be doing a lot very well with going after people for things that they say on the internet, but they don't seem to be succeeding in actually prosecuting cases against people for things like burglary, rape and stabbings. And there's actually been a report which has just come out which talks about this. British police forces have been told to police the streets and not tweets after a damning report found that failing forces across the country have a dismal record of solving crimes such as burglaries, robberies and theft. And it's not just this report that's saying that, it's not just the person that is commenting on this rather that is saying that. We also have lots of ex-police chiefs that are also referring to this and saying that the police are devoting far too much of their time to woke left-wing causes and showing support for them when the public just want them to solve crimes. The report, authored by former Metropolitan Police Detective Chief Inspector David Spencer for the centre-right policy exchange think tank, laid out suggestions for the next Prime Minister to implement to restore the public's trust in those who are meant to protect and serve them. And I think it's something like twice as many people want the police to stop going after people on the internet and want them to actually solve actual physical crimes that hurt people. I know they say that causing offence on the internet is a crime, even though being offensive isn't a crime. But I think most people, most British people would be really shocked to think that speech itself can now be considered to be a crime. And the guidelines for it, where it says if you're showing hostility towards any group with protected characteristics, and most people think the word hostility means being aggressive, warlike, violent, but it can actually mean just being unfriendly or unsympathetic. So, I mean, somebody could say, well, I thought that was an unfriendly look that person just gave me. And that would be recorded as a non-crime related hate incident. Or if somebody had a falling out with somebody, they could say, well, they've been unfriendly to me and I'm a person of colour. So that's obviously, that's a hate crime there. You know, this wording that we have, hostility, is very, very nebulous. And the point of the law is supposed to be to prevent violence, physical violence, from happening to ethnic minorities. So the logic is, if somebody is stirring up hate, if they're encouraging people to go out and carry out violence, then they might go out and carry out violence. And that's logical if somebody is trying to encourage violence. But if you're going to use a word like hostile that also has this meaning of just being unfriendly or unsympathetic, you're effectively saying that if you're unfriendly towards black muggers, for instance, then you're guilty of a crime. I mean, it really does need some looking at, I think. And this report hasn't pointed that out. And I'm not aware that there are any mainstream politicians that are pointing this out, this wording of hostility that I think is at the root of it. Published on Tuesday in Crime and Policing, What Do We Want from the Next Prime Minister? David Spencer called on the next Home Secretary to use their powers to reform failing police forces across the country, including sacking chief constables if required. And if it is Suella Braverman, I think she probably will do a fairly good job if Suella Braverman is the Home Secretary on the front with the police. I think maybe Priti Patel didn't do too badly with the police. It was just with the borders that she has such a dreadful record. And I suspect Suella Braverman will also have a dreadful record on the borders because her loyalty is obviously going to be to her ethnic group. And it's her ethnic group that stand to most benefit from Britain's lax borders. So you can't really expect her to do anything else on that front. But she has spoken up against transgenderism and that going on in the schools and encouraged schools and people to take the schools to court. She says she wants to see these things go through the courts so that there are lawsuits against schools for socially transitioning children. She's very good on that. So she might be quite good as a Home Secretary. As I say, we will have to wait and see. Noting that the ability of the police to solve crime once it has happened has reduced significantly over the last decade, Spencer said that the solve rate for common crimes was woefully low, with just 3.5% of reported residential burglaries 6.3% of reported robberies and 4.1% of reported thefts being solved during the financial year of 2021 to 2022. And I think most people now, they don't even expect thefts or burglaries or robberies to actually be solved. I mean, that's a dreadful record, isn't it? Under 5% for robberies and burglaries or thefts and burglaries. And yet their solve rate for so-called hate crime is probably about 100%. I mean, somebody complains about something on the internet and the police are going to come round to that person's house knocking on the door, and they're then going to charge them with it, aren't they? They seem to be spending all their time doing that and all their resources on doing that, rather than investigating these crimes that have a horrific effect on people. I mean, you're talking somebody getting robbed or somebody's home getting burgled. You think what that actually does to somebody, and you compare that to somebody who just gets mildly annoyed on the internet because somebody said a bad word in a tweet or something. I mean, it just doesn't compare to having your home burgled, does it? The Policy Exchange paper went on to say that there is a lack of policing power being dedicated to protecting children from sexual predation and abuse on the internet, claiming that less than 2% of officers in the UK are dedicated to snuffing out the growing problem. And that is something we don't often talk about that much here at Radio Albion. But they're talking about these groomers and these perverts that go into the children's chat rooms on the internet. But we also have this big problem just with pornography on the internet and how prolific that is, and how it's everywhere, and how children are now being exposed to that. I mean, that is just as dangerous to children as these sexual predators that are online as well. I mean, how can the police do that? I guess what they would need to do is put decoys out there, more decoys. It is something that we need more resources put into, I think. British policing simply does not have the capability or the capacity to tackle online-based criminality. As a result, these offences are in essence almost entirely decriminalised, Spencer wrote. But they certainly have the capacity to tackle tweets and Facebook, don't they? Just not actual criminality. The report said that in order to maintain the public's confidence, police forces should refrain from engaging in acts that could be interpreted by others as an expression of a partisan political view, such as by taking the knee during the BLM protests, or by wearing advocacy badges on their uniforms, such as those worn by officers during pride parades. And the police are not supposed to show any political leanings. And I guess they would say, well, what we're doing is we're showing support for anti-racism, but Black Lives Matter are an explicitly left-wing organisation that want to abolish the police. They're Marxist, and the whole idea of left-wing anti-racism is different to the right-wing idea of anti-racism. The left-wing idea of anti-racism is to take things from white people and give them to black people, and the more you do that, the more accusations there are of racism, and now we're into micro aggressions and that being a form of racism. Whereas the right-wing solution to racism is simply to have homogenous ethnic communities. If you had homogenous ethnic communities, racism could not exist. There could be no discrimination because all the people in that community would be of one ethnic group. So there's one solution, which actually is a solution and will get rid of racism. And the other solution doesn't get rid of racism. It just takes from one group to give it to another group, and it fosters feelings of resentment amongst the group that's been told that they are oppressed. Spencer noted that recent polling from CapX found that the public were almost twice as likely to agree than disagree with the statement that the police are more interested in being woke than in solving crimes. And this is the way that people feel now. They feel disillusioned with the police. I think a lot of the police feel disillusioned and don't like the fact that they're being sent out to investigate people's thinking. I mean, they join the police because they have an urge within them to solve crime and protect the weak and the vulnerable in society, and they have a sense of justice. And then when they join the police, instead of being sent out after violent criminals, they're told to knock on somebody's door because somebody said there are only two genders on Twitter. I mean, that must be very disheartening. When your resources are being used to silence people and to clamp down on free speech rather than to actually help people that have had horrific violent crimes happen to them. Responding to the report, the deputy leader of the anti-woke Reclaim Party, Martin Daubney, said, "Police the streets, not tweets, no more taking the knee. Stop the LGBTQ plus lunacy, pride dances and two-tiered policing due to racism fears. Get back to basics." So I quite like Martin Daubney. I think he used to be an editor of a lads mag, and then he became a big supporter of Brexit, and he's now one of these right-wing spokesmen that Breitbart and sometimes Channel 5 and the mainstream media like to go to. He's quite a good chap, actually. In July, the head of the Reclaim Party and the star of Breitbart's upcoming feature film, My Son Hunter, Lawrence Fox, staged a camera ambush to expose the Hampshire Constabulary, who came to the home of British Army veteran Darren Brady to arrest him for sharing a meme critical of left-wing dogma on gender. And we covered that here at Radio Albion. That was the pride flag that had been turned into a swastika. Even the local police and crime commissioner, Donna Jones, was forced to admit after the incident that arresting veterans for memes was not the best use of valuable man hours when the police are failing to solve the vast majority of burglaries. And also the British College of Policing have given out new advice to the police that they actually have to show some hostility there before they can record a non-crime hate-related incident. They have to actually show some hostility, and there was clearly no hostility from this veteran, and yet they still went round there and they still arrested him. And it was all filmed, and it got lots of publicity. And this police and crime commissioner, she apologised and said, "This is not what the police should be used for." And at the same time, we heard similar thoughts, I think, from the new chief of Greater Manchester Police. Some forces have even seemingly attempted to goad the public into committing speech violations, with Essex Police warning the public that they would be monitoring social media for hate crimes after they posted officers posing with a progress flag in July. So they showed the police posing with this rainbow flag, and basically they're sort of encouraging people to criticise it, aren't they, by doing something like that, by flaunting it in the public's faces, and then they threatened to prosecute people if they did. UK police have not only come under fire for targeting those critical of LGBTQ plus ideology, however, with forces consistently joining in with pride parades and even staging their own awareness events. Recently, officers in Lincoln were ridiculed for using valuable policing time to do the Macarena dance with pride goers. And of course, the police will say, well, we are trying to make ourselves appeal to the community. We're trying to make ourselves appear to be approachable. We're trying to be friendly to the community that is involved here. But of course, most people look at that and they say, well, look, the police are supposed to be striking fear into the hearts of criminals. How are they striking fear into the hearts of criminals doing the YMCA dance or doing the Macarena dance? They're just ridiculing the office. And I think that's the way most people look at it. Well, let's have a look at what this event was, this awareness event that they're referring to there. It took place in July. Rather than pledging to tackle violent crime in Liverpool, the Merseyside police have released a video in which officers promise to promote pronoun awareness for the city's LGBT pride weekend. And Liverpool is where this poor 9-year-old girl got shot in her own home, shot and killed, and the mother got shot as well recently. So the Merseyside police would probably have been better off investigating gun crime and trying to clamp down on the guns in the city rather than promoting pronoun awareness for the Pride weekend. While Pride Month was celebrated in June already, Liverpool is putting on a virtual LGBT Pride celebration this weekend, sponsored by the increasingly woke Barclays Bank. The banks are getting worse and worse. The Halifax. I went in the Halifax the other day, and half the desk there, where the desk clerks are, was just filled up by a gay pride flag, and then they had gay pride flag bunting all around the bank, and basically just showing support for left-wing ideology. And then you have Antifa, and you have people on the left that think that they are the resistance, they are the counterculture, and what they're doing is just promoting exactly what the banks are doing. So the banks are promoting this LGBT Pride weekend in July. It just seems like summer is now just all full of gay pride, isn't it? It used to be one weekend, then it was a week, then it was a month. Now it's the whole summer. To mark the event, the Merseyside Police released a video of officers waving rainbow flags and announcing their solidarity with the left-wing movement. I mean, just turn that on its head and imagine if you were to see the police waving Celtic cross flags and announcing their solidarity with white nationalists who were holding a white pride day. And you just wouldn't see it, would you? And the police would say, well, we can't do that because that's extreme right-wing ideology. But what they're doing here is promoting extreme left-wing ideology. They're promoting extreme homosexual ideology. I mean, there are a lot of homosexuals that don't agree with this pride idea, this idea of flaunting homosexuality in the public and flaunting it to children. A lot of homosexuals don't agree with that. That is a left-wing ideology. And yet you have the police wearing their rainbow badges, wearing their rainbow shoelaces, showing their partisan support for this left-wing movement. In the video entitled What Makes Merseyside Police Unique and United, Detective Chief Inspector Helen Bennett said, I pledge to continue to promote pronoun awareness, continuing to ensure that Merseyside Police is a fantastic and inclusive place to work for everybody, no matter how you identify. Fantastic and inclusive place for drug dealers and gangsters, armed gangsters, to work, isn't it? That's what they've been doing, concentrating on gay pride instead of concentrating on gun crime. And of course, when they say an inclusive place, what they really mean is excluding anybody that disagrees. That's what they mean by inclusive. Anyone that disagrees with the mainstream narrative, disagrees with the promotion of gay pride, they're excluded. There's no place for them, no place for hate. Constable Emma Burns-Jones said, I pledge to encourage colleagues to use gender-neutral terms. So they're actually going to exclude people that identify with one of the two genders by using gender-neutral terms, which don't actually apply to anyone. How is that going to make people feel included if you're using gender-neutral terms? Using gender-neutral terms just introduces confusion where there was none before. And it means that you cannot actually be accurate. You cannot be specific because you're using a term that is completely neutral. Inspector Ross Meredith said, I've marched in pride with pride for a number of years and will continue to do so in uniform, representing Merseyside Police. So he's really proud of his support for this left-wing ideology here. Chief Inspector of Diversity, Equality and Inclusion, Cassie Cunningham, said, I pledge to increase inclusivity by challenging negativity in all its forms. And again, they say they're challenging negativity, but they're basically just excluding anyone who disagrees with them. And who ever heard of a Chief Inspector of Diversity, Equality and Inclusion? Again, wouldn't those resources be better spent on a Chief Inspector of rape gangs, grooming gangs, something like that, rather than a Chief Inspector of encouraging white people to be replaced by non-whites? The highly political video has drawn considerable backlash on social media, with many questioning why the police force was spending its time and resources to celebrate yet another series of LGBT Pride Days, rather than tackling the force area's violent crime problem. And there is loads of violent crime that happens in Liverpool. It's a particularly violent part of the country, again, particularly multicultural and particularly left-wing. Mocking the cringe-inducing video, Reclaim Party leader Lawrence Fox wrote, I pledge to avoid you cultist nutjobs like the plague. Research fellow at the Small C Conservative Bow Group, Gary Powell, said, if you can watch this and not worry about how, for the past 10 years, Conservative governments have been sitting by, passively watching the ideological capture of our police forces and other public bodies by extreme identity politics, then you have no idea how dangerous this is. And as I pointed out earlier, with Suella Braverman as the Home Secretary, I mean, she might try to do something about this because she is fairly conservative. And we have had police chiefs of police that are saying something needs to be done about this. The chief of Greater Manchester Police, he said you won't see any of his police officers with rainbow shoelaces. And this report that I was talking about at the beginning of this show, this is saying that these police chiefs that are encouraging this, they should be removed from office. The police are supposed to be non-partisan. They're not supposed to be showing support for these left-wing ideas. It is also questionable whether the video is in line with a code of ethics from the College of Policing, which states, police officers must not take any active part in politics. This is intended to prevent you from placing yourself in a position where your impartiality may be questioned. And of course, it is going to be questioned. If you've got the police that are taking the knee and they're kneeling down for Black Lives Matter, and then you've got somebody that supports White Lives Matter, I mean, what the police are doing is saying, well, we support this left-wing idea. We don't support White Lives Matter. We don't think White Lives Matter. We're against that. And they are supposed to be impartial. They're supposed to facilitate protests on the right and facilitate protests on the left. And if they are facilitating a protest against, say, gay pride or whatever, how can they be doing that when they've got rainbow badges? How can they be supporting a protest against Black Lives Matter when they've just been seen taking the knee? I mean, remember that that protest that took place a couple of years ago, protecting our statues, protecting Winston Churchill and the rest of the statues in London, and the veterans and the patriots went there, and there was a huge fight. I mean, how can they see the police as being impartial and impartially policing their protest against statues being vandalised when the week before the police have all been taking the knee? And they've all been showing support for Black Lives Matter and effectively showing support for the vandalization of our statues. The Merseyside Police Force has been revealed to have given the far-left LGBT organization Stonewall at least £7,500 in subscriptions and donations, despite years of public sector cutbacks. And a lot of these organizations have to do that to show that they support diversity. To show that they support it, which is a legal thing, they have to be promoting it. They will pay charities like Stonewall to give them a diversity stars and say this organization is great. They support homosexuality and diversity and all the rest of it. And they're basically being paid to do that so that they can rubber stamp the organization and say that Stonewall approves of them. It's the same with mermaids. And a lot of the ideology that these groups are promoting isn't based on science, particularly the transgender ideology. And you've had a lot of homosexuals that have left Stonewall because Stonewall is saying that homosexuality is no longer about being attracted to your own sex. It's about being attracted to your own gender. So they're saying that men that dress as women are the equivalent of lesbians. And if biologically female lesbians don't want to sleep with men dressed as women claiming to be lesbians, then they're homophobic somehow. So you've got all these splits and divisions that are actually occurring in these left-wing homosexual charities because of the transgender time bomb that's been let off amongst them. I mean, we're going to see more and more problems that this transgender idea introduces into society, I think. In May, Equalities Minister Liz Truss, who's just been voted Prime Minister, called on the government to abandon partnering with Stonewall over its radical positions on transgenderism. So that is something positive. We may see the government walking back a bit on the transgender ideology, I think, with Liz Truss in power. Some 250 governmental departments had paid the LGBT charity to educate them on the proper use of pronouns and gender-neutral spaces. And I saw a really good video over the weekend, which was from the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, and the AfD MP was in Parliament, and he was basically just saying that they don't second a motion or they don't agree with the bill that's being put before the government. And he took 5 minutes to address each and every one of these pronouns. I mean, there's absolutely dozens of them. Dozens and dozens of different pronouns, and he addressed his talk to each and every one of them. And that just shows you how ridiculous it is. Why not just say ladies and gentlemen? Why do you have to include all these different pronouns for these microscopic percentages of the population, falling over ourselves in order to be courteous? And in actual fact, we just end up being discourteous to everyone else and placing the needs of this tiny group above the needs of everyone else. I mean, that's not equality, is it? when you're placing the needs of a tiny minority above the needs of everyone else, you're just excluding everyone else by not using a simple term that covers everyone. Terms like man and like woman. I mean, man covers both men and women. The only reason why they want to get rid of that is because they just hate males, because it's a male sounding word, even though it includes both men and women. In February, the Merseyside Police Force also came under fire for launching a campaign against so-called hate speech, in which officers drove around in a rainbow flag-clad vehicle bearing the Orwellian message, being offensive is an offence. So, again, basically, they're just, you know, sort of trying to wind people up, aren't they? Driving around in this rainbow flag-coloured police car. They're not supposed to show any support for any political groups, and yet they're driving round showing off their left-wing support, and that's going to rub people up the wrong way, isn't it? People are going to think, well, how ridiculous does that look? And surely the police that were having to drive it were embarrassed driving around in a rainbow-clad police car. That's hardly going to strike fear into criminals, is it? It's going to cause people to laugh and to actually mock the police, and of course then they're going to come out and say, is that, you're committing a hate crime there, you're laughing at this homosexual car that we're driving around in. And of course, saying being offensive is an offence, it's not an offence to be offensive, it's an offence to incite hate. Being offensive is not an offence. The force later capitulated and admitted that being offensive is in itself not a crime, despite the onerous restrictions on speech that there are in the United Kingdom more generally. So they were overstepping the mark there, basically, by saying that you can't actually be offensive. These speech restrictions that we have in the United Kingdom, they have to be some of the harshest in the world. I know Germany is worse, but when you think that America based its constitutional right to free speech, they based that on the British right to free speech, and then you compare the right that you have to speak about things in America compared with how you can speak about things in Britain today, and it really shows you that there's been these massive, massive restrictions on what you can say in Britain. I mean, you're even restricted on what books you can read now. If you're a nationalist, or if you hold a right-wing ideology, and you have certain books in your possession, they can say, oh, well, this book could have been of use to a terrorist. And because you have right-wing views, you might turn into a terrorist someday. Therefore, this book is illegal. And yet the book itself could be sold in Amazon, could be sold in Waterstones, could be quite fine for an anarchist to have it, or Antifa to have the same book. But if you're a nationalist and you have it, then you could be sent to jail for it. So it's not even what you're talking about. It's what you're reading they're trying to censor and clamp down on now, and yet they claim that we have all these freedoms that we need to export to the rest of the world. I think you're probably more free to talk about things in probably Russia and China than you are in Britain. But anyway, it's good that there's this report that's come out, and let's hope that Liz Truss continues to try and slow down the transgender agenda slightly, and let's hope that if Suella Braverman does become Home Secretary, that she does the same. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.